and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Praise God. Well, hey, you did pretty good. I mean, we got just about a full sanctuary here. And, of course, this is Memorial Day weekend. They say that this is one of the least attended weekends of the entire year, but not here at Family Church, right? Amen, because you're here to put God first. And it's so good to see everybody. Again, we just welcome those that are visiting the church today. We're just so glad that you're here. And we know that God's got a plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God's got a good plan for your life. And here at Family Church, we just want to tell you all about it through His Word. Amen. It's not about our opinion. It certainly isn't about our politics or our methods. It's about God's Word first and foremost. Amen. And you will only discover God's plan for your life through His Word. Amen. And so here at the church, we're a Word First church. We don't, like we said, Pastor Brad mentioned in the announcements, we don't change the Bible. The Bible changes us. Amen. And so we just want all that God has for us. But so often people go to God and they say, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. Lord, bless what I want to do. God doesn't work that way. He only blesses His plan for your life. And that's the plan you got to get into. Whether sometimes at first it doesn't seem like something your flesh would want or your mind would want. But in the end, it always pays to follow God. Amen. It always pays and works out to follow the Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you that are visiting today, we're just honored. We just love you. We appreciate you. The only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday. And so we invite you to be part of our church family. We're not just looking to fill seats. We're looking to get to know you and plug you into God's plan for your life. And of course, church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, and there's no kids streaming out of the... They've already been dismissed. Wasn't that awesome? Of course, it's precious every week when we see those kids just piling out. And I always think, there goes half my congregation. Keep them. I need someone to preach to, right? Praise the Lord. And so it's such a blessing. And again, happy Memorial Day. Especially, you know, we think of those that have, all those that have come before us, no doubt. You know, if you have, you know, loved ones and people that have gone on and, of course, they influenced your life and so on, we remember them. We're especially grateful for those that have served our nation. And again, for those of you that served, we just honor you. What we're going to do is that we're going to do that one more time. Let's honor those because we didn't want to get distracted from the honor. Of course, the kids, they hear clapping and it's go time, right? So again, we're gonna give you a double portion of honor. If you served in the military in any form or fashion, or maybe you served in law enforcement, aren't you grateful for law enforcement? You know, we're living in the day and the times where there's an attack on law enforcement. Of course, there can be a bad apple once in a while in the bushel, but overwhelmingly, we have wonderful law enforcement. We need them. And it's amazing that even the people that criticize them, if they're in trouble, the first people they call is an officer, right? And so that would include you, or if you've served in public service, listen, you don't have to have been in combat for us to honor you, but we want to honor you again. So if that's you, could you stand one more time so we can make sure to give you the honor? If you served in the, yeah. Several of you, there you go. Praise the Lord. We're just so honored to have you here today. Amen. Thank you very much. There's just folks all over the place. We just honor you. We love you. We appreciate you. Of course, my grandfathers, both of my grandfathers were World War II combat veterans. My grandpa Warner on my mom's side, he was a Bronze Star, Purple Heart recipient. My dad's father, my grandpa Harry Stallman, he was a tank driver, and he was captured by the Germans. He spent months in a POW camp. He was starved and went through all that. And then when he was liberated, he hiked across the whole nation of Poland in a weakened state. And then these men, of course, they came home and built the country. All right. Amen. And they didn't need the government's help to do it. Thank God. You know, they just did it and they worked hard. And of course, my dad served in the Navy. I have a brother that served in the Air Force. And we're just grateful for all those that serve. We love you. We honor you. Of course, we got our red, white, and blue, right? Today, in honor of you and the service to our nation. And we just say this, that divisive spirit that is trying to divide and hurt this nation, it is not going to prevail. Amen. You know, this toxic environment in politics, this downright hatred and vitriol that is in our government these days, it's the worst that it's ever been. Folks, we need to be praying for our nation because the devil is actively trying to tear this nation down to try to make us like the rest of the world. All right, America is the final frontier of personal liberty and freedom, and it is going to stand until Jesus comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I'm not sure if I did this or not, but for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. And again, we're just so glad to have you here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You're hungry for the Word here today? And so God is going to bless you and fill you. Amen. A couple weeks ago, we started a series of messages on Sunday morning called How to Hear God's Voice in Your Life. Here's the truth. God is talking to you, and you might not realize it, or you might not understand how God talks to you. Well, today you're going to learn how to hear that voice and how to do what God says. You need to know, because God doesn't just talk to you in a lightning bolt. He's not talking to you necessarily always in dreams and visions. Now, that can happen. But I'd say this, that percentage-wise, that is a very small percentage of the time. All right? You know, if you're just somebody that's just trying to have a vision from God, trying to God to give you a dream or something like that, you're probably unstable in your life. Because then if you're only trying to live by visions and dreams, it's because you don't know enough of what this says. And you're seeking an experience without seeking knowledge first. Knowledge is more important than any experience you will ever have in God. Knowledge of God's love, obviously knowledge of God's salvation, knowledge of God's voice and how things work is so more. You know, the Bible doesn't say my people are destroyed for a lack of visions. It doesn't say that they're destroyed for a lack of dreams. He didn't say they were destroyed for a lack of money. He didn't say they were destroyed for a lack of anything except for knowledge. What you don't know can and is hurting your life. And we said this on Wednesday night. Pastor Brad referenced it in the announcements. Life is drawing on what you know or what you don't know. All right, meaning life is making a withdrawal on you whether you have something in you or not. Whether you have the Word of God in you or not, it is making a withdrawal. All right? And what happens when a withdrawal is made and there's nothing in there? You have what? An overdraft. You're living in the negative. All right. A lot of Christians are spiritually living in the negative and their life is frustrated. They are fatigued in life. They are desperate in life because life is drawing on them, whether they know it or not. But there's nothing in there of the Word to draw upon. And now you're in overdraft. You're in negative. And now there's pressure in your life and there's chaos. Because there's nothing in there to take from. But when you're filled with the Word of God, amen. Remember back there in the widow woman, and remember how the Lord said, gather up vessels from your neighbors, go, and I will make sure that the pot of oil will never run out. Remember that? You know, that is a type and a shadow of someone who's filled with the Spirit. No matter if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and keeping yourself full, the world can come in and keep making a withdrawal, making a withdrawal, making a withdrawal. But you'll never run out. And life doesn't have to get so frustrating and so tiresome. That's right. So many Christians are living on barely get along street. You know why? Because they're not full of knowledge. Well, anyway. So we've been talking about how to hear God's voice in your life, and we've been teaching about your three-part nature. All right, remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know the Bible teaches us that we are a spirit being? That means we will exist forever. You will either exist forever with eternal life, or you will exist forever with eternal death. Those are your two choices. I say this, choose life. Choose Jesus. Get born again, because you are a spiritual being and you will exist forever. Now, it says that we are a spirit, but we have a soul. The word soul means mind, will, and emotions of man. All right, that word soul in the New Testament is the word psuche. It's where we get our English word for psychology. All right, it is the will, it is the emotions and feelings of man. Your soul is what contacts the emotional realm. All right, it's your soul that's tempted to be hurt when somebody insults you. It's your soul that fear can try to register in your soul. All right. And of course, the Bible tells us what to do with our mind. It says to renew our minds. Amen. Remember over there, Romans 12:2, it says, being ye not conformed to the image of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right. See, the reason why Christians look and act just like godless society out there is because they have not renewed their mind with the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when people look at me, I don't want them to see the same old defeated, depressed, weary, awful, ugly society. And if people look at you, and if you're just doing what sinners do, I'll tell you what, you are conformed. And I tell you this, I recommend getting transformed. Praise the Lord. I've had people run into me since they knew me back in the day. They say, you know what, you're different. And I say, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord, because when the world sees me, I don't want them to see the same old me that didn't have Jesus. I want them to see a transformed person. Amen. And the reason why people get conformed to this world, the reason why Christians live just like sinners and just like people without God, is because they think like those people. If you think like a chicken, you're going to live like a chicken. But see, you need someone to tell you that you're an eagle. Praise the Lord. And you need to understand that what we were saying, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Those things that are going on in your life, that financial pressure does not have to stick to you. That marital trial does not have to be your new identity. That illness in your body doesn't have to be the new normal. Come on now. There is a better way. Those addictions can and will be broken. Imagine if you didn't need it anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we've been talking about the spirit, soul, and body. And of course, we know what our body is, right? Your body is what contacts the physical realm. Your body has a voice. It's called the five senses, right? Sight, touch, smell, hearing, and taste. I say them in a different order every time. You would think by now that we would remember what those five senses are. But the five senses are the voice of your flesh. Okay, the voice of your soul or your mind is reasoning and questioning, all right? But the voice of your spirit is your conscience, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, all right? And so we've been talking about spirit, soul, and body, and we started off in this series of messages studying the human spirit. Now, I didn't start with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the human spirit. Do you know that the Bible teaches us about the spirit of man? All right, boy, I know a lot of Christians, they'll look at you kind of like some of you are looking at me now. What do you mean, the human spirit? Well, you know, in society, you'll hear people talk about the human spirit, and they usually talk about it in terms of survival and determination and accomplishing something. The human spirit prevailed and we survived, or the human spirit prevailed and we got to the top of the mountain, or whatever. Well, that might be society's definition, but by the Bible's definition, the human spirit refers to the eternal nature of man. That is your spirit. the part of you that will exist forever, all right? It is the most important thing of your nature. How many of you know the Bible tells us to crucify our flesh? Galatians 5:24. How many of you know you can't let your flesh do whatever it wants? Your flesh will want to do this and your flesh will want to see that. And you know, you got to say, no, absolutely not. Because the flesh did not get born again when you got saved. In the same way, your mind will have thoughts against God. Your mind will not want to obey God. Your mind won't want to come to church on Memorial Day because of the picnic. But I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. You know, there's so many thoughts that can rage against God in your mind, and you got to what? Renew the mind. So I got to crucify my flesh. How many of you know crucifying your flesh is not a pleasant thing? Because your body will scream to do those things, and you got to say no. You got to let your spirit nature rule over your flesh and say no. And I'll tell you what, your spirit will have a lot more to stand on if it's filled with the Word of God. Okay? And so this is, again, some review. And the Bible tells us that we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that we have to feed our spirit. Have to feed our spirit, okay? And so we started by teaching on the human spirit. And we saw this over there in James 2:26. It says this, that the body without the spirit, the human spirit, is dead. What happens at natural death? The spirit of man leaves the person. And as soon as your spirit is gone, your body dies. And we looked at the relationship between your spirit and your body. The stronger you are spiritually, the stronger you will be physically. All right? Meaning you can go through tests and trials in your body. The Bible says that. Remember over there in Proverbs 18:24, it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily injury or sickness. So your body could go through a test, but it's good to have a strong spirit, a spirit that's filled with God to sustain, to heal, to give strength to your body. Amen. And so we talked about that. We talked about your spirit as the purchased possession of God. You know, you have to keep your spirit clean. You know, and we talked about, most importantly, that your spirit is the communication device that God speaks to. God is not talking to your brain. God is not talking to your body. God is talking to your spirit. Remember Proverbs 20:27, right? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Daniel said it this way in Daniel 7:15. He said, I was troubled in my spirit in the midst of me. 1 Corinthians 2:11, who knows the things of God for a man except the spirit of man that is with him, within him? Even so, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God will speak to your human spirit. It's not up here in your brain. It's not out here in your flesh. It's in the center. And this is what the purpose of this series of messages is, to make you spirit conscious without getting flaky. Because you have decisions to make every day, and the Spirit of God is talking to you, but He's talking down here in your conscience, down here in your gut, your belly, the center of you, whatever you want to call it, and you need to be mindful of it. All right? Last week we left off by looking at the things that will cloud your spirit. Your spirit should be like a clear pool of water that you can see straight to the bottom of it. You know what I mean? And there's things in life that will cloud your spirit if you are not careful. And again, this is still review because I know not everyone was here the last couple of weeks, so I'm just catching us all up. And, you know, I use the illustration back before I was serving God. I went and I was trained in a sailing school down in Florida. And then after we spent, you know, time in the classroom and everything, we sailed a 44-foot sailboat over to the Bahamas. It was about 300 miles. And we got over there. And the day that we were coming into port, the skipper put me on the bow. And he said, go up there and look for, I don't know if it was necessarily, you know, coral heads or, you know, rocks or whatever it was. He said, hey, you need to make sure that there's nothing in this channel that we're going to hit. And so I got up there on the bow, and I first looked down in the water, and it looked like there were rocks and things, you know, coral or whatever it was right there. And it only looked about 5 or 6 feet deep, you know. And I turned back to the skipper. I said, hey, we're looking shallow up here. It only looks like 5 or 6 feet of water. And he looked down at the depth gauge, and it said over 50 feet of water. And he said, you know, hey, we're in, you know, nearly 50 feet of water back here. The reason why, you know, it looked so close is because that water there in that part of the Bahamas was so clear. You could see straight to the bottom, and you could see all of the dangers, even though, you know, there was plenty of water. In the same way, our spirit should be clear. Our conscience should be clear. Our conscience should be quiet, like still water, so that we can hear the voice of God on the inside. I also use the illustration of kids catching crayfish. All right, you ever been crayfishing? All right, I mean, it's not just for kids. Adults, you just might like it too, right? And we have a creek out behind our house, and my kids love to go catch crayfish. And you know, you teach a kid to catch a crayfish, lift the rock slowly. Because you need that water to remain settled and undisturbed, because then you catch that crayfish off guard, right? And you can see where to get them. But what happens if you take that rock up real quickly and it disturbs all the mud, and you get a glimpse at that big crayfish in there for a half a second, and then he disappears in the mud. And the kid still wants that crayfish, but now he's reaching into a muddy pool of water, and that's when he gets pinched. All right, in the same way, when your spirit gets cloudy, you're not going to hear the voice of God. And so now we're talking about the things that will cloud you spiritually. Now let's continue. Are you ready? Go back over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. This is where we left off last week. The number one thing that clouds the spirit of your spirit by the Holy Spirit, the number one thing that hinders you from hearing God's voice in your life is your carnal mind. Your natural carnal mind. All right. Now let's bring up Romans 8, 7. I'm going to read it in the King James here. We encourage you, bring your Bibles to church. But also we put it on the screen so you know we're not making things up for ourselves. All right. The King James says, because the carnal mind of man is enmity against God. How many of you know that before the sun sets today, you will have a thought in your head against God? When you're wishing that I would just be quiet and end the service, it's a... I'm just kidding. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or literally you could say it this way, an enemy of God. It is enmity against God, for your carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And this is what we said last week. Here's what you must do. Get your mind and your spirit to agree. Now, you do that through the renewing of your mind, because if your mind and your spirit don't agree, then your flesh and your mind are going to gang up on your spirit, and now you're not going to obey God. The reason why people's lives are getting so destroyed is because their mind and their flesh want to do something, and that's what they do. But when your mind and your spirit agree, then they'll gang up on your flesh. Oh, come on. And then you're going to crucify your flesh, and you're going to get into the will of God for your life, all right? But this is what we said, and again, this is still a little bit of review from last week. Can you bring up the Amplified version of verse 7? It says this, praise the Lord, here it comes. It's coming through the pipe right now. There it is. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. Do you know, and this is what we said last week, the greatest enemy in your life is sitting there in your seat with you right now. It is about that 12 or 14 inches above your shoulders. People say, oh, the devil's my number one enemy. No, it's not. No, he's not. All right, the Bible never says the devil is your number one enemy. He says he is an enemy. All right, but the greatest thing, the devil, the only weapon he has is to suggest things to your mind. If you can keep the devil out of your mind, he has no entrance into your life. And so the number one contention you have in your life is to keep this mind straight and clean. All right? the number one thing that will hinder the voice of God in your life is your carnal mind. Why? Because notice that your mind has its own purposes that are hostile against God. Whoa! You and me have minds that if we let them go naturally, will be hostile to God. And you might be sitting there thinking, oh, not me. You know, I'm not hostile to God. You know, I don't feel like I have any hostile thoughts. Yes, you do. Let's just use some basic illustrations. Now, of course, these are just things that, you know, are very natural. Sometimes I use the same illustration over and over and over again because we've all been there and we understand how money will test man's heart and mind, okay? But let's use the truth of tithing. If you don't tithe, you are hostile against God in that truth. So, no, I'm not hostile about it. I just can't afford it. That's the same thing. Because, oh, I just can't afford it. No. Tithing isn't something you afford. Tithing is what you do first. Whether you made a dime this week or $1 million, a tenth of it still belongs to God. It doesn't matter. It's not up for debate. Tithing is not about an amount. It's about a percentage that God says, I'm laying claim to it. God said, I'm going to, and Pastor Brad quoted those scriptures there. What was it, Numbers 14? Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23. Tithing isn't because God needs the money. Is God having a hard time paying his mortgage today? No. God gave us. We needed the opportunity. He doesn't need the tithe. We need the tithe, meaning we need that opportunity to participate with God financially. All right, you say, well, I'm not hostile. I know what it says, but I don't do it. That's a hostile thought. The hostile thought is simply, no, I got to do this instead of putting God first. Let's say there's somebody who's wronged you, really ticked you off, insulted you or something like that. And you say, I'm not forgiving them. I'm not having anything to do with them. I'm not forgiving them. See, you have a hostile thought against forgiveness, which is really absurd, and we're going to talk about this here in a few moments. But for a Christian to refuse to forgive when the very fact that you are the recipient of the greatest act of forgiveness, you were born of God by forgiveness. You were born into the ultimate nature of forgiveness. Oh, praise the Lord. See, the glory of God will show up in your life in correlation to how much you keep those hostile thoughts down. You could be going through a financial trial and everything in your mind says, don't tithe this week. But you say, no, I'm keeping that thought down. I'm going to obey God no matter what. All right. Or when you say, I'm not forgiving, my mind cannot forgive that person. You squelch that hostile thought. You forgive them anyway. All right. Or, you know, we could go on and on and on. Why is it that so many traditional denominations in history are against the people of God lifting their hands and praising the Lord? You know, if you're not careful, you can go to a church where one guy could lift his hands to praise worship and all of a sudden everybody looks at him like he's some kind of fanatic, emotional, you know, weirdo. You know, but the word says lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Bible says praise is appropriate for the upright. The Bible says over there in Hebrews 13, 15, because of Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 63, because his loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise him. Thus I will lift my hands in his name. And we could go on and on. Paul said, I command men everywhere to pray, lifting holy hands without wrath or doubting. But yet some people, you know, were raised in a denomination. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Well, they might have been a good church otherwise, but they could have hostile thoughts against certain truths. How about tongues? Let's really make you mad on picnic weekend. I don't believe in that tongues business. I don't believe that's of the devil. That's just fanaticism, weirdo stuff. You're hostile against the truth of God. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. Doesn't mean you got to speak in tongues to be saved. That's not double not what we're saying. I did that same thing last year. I was teaching on this, and I emphasized you do not have to speak in tongues to be saved. Nowhere is that true. However, it's available to believers. All right. And after I emphasized that, someone walked out of church that day, called and left a very hostile message on our answering machine saying, "You said that you have to speak in tongues to be saved." No, I said, "Not. Not. Double not, triple not, double dog dare all the way." Praise the Lord, okay? But you know, if you were raised in an environment that said, "Oh, tongues is wrong." See, they had a hostile thought against God, that truth in God's word. What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 14:2. "He that speaks in an unknown tongue," unknown. So it's not a human language. All right? "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men," can't be a human language, "but unto God. For no man understands him," can't be a human language. "However, in the spirit, he utters secret truths not obvious to the human understanding." All right, so obviously there is a divine language for believers to speak directly to God. Jesus said it would be available. But yet, entire denominations have made it their crusade to eliminate tongues. There's guys preaching on the radio, writing entire books called Charismatic Chaos against tongues. Oh, and people that speak in tongues are going to hell. No, when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking to heaven. Read your Bible. The scripture says over and over and over. But see, hostile thoughts. See, the more you put down hostile thoughts against God, the more the glory is going to show. See, when you have subdued hostile thoughts, that means certain things are no longer an option in your mind. See, skipping church isn't an option for me. Say, "Well, of course, you're the pastor." No, 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 not because I'm the pastor. It wasn't an option before I was a pastor. When the house of God is open, I'm there. Now, of course, if you take a vacation, that's great. Wonderful. You know what I mean? We're talking about the habit of. People say, "I'm not going to church today. I got something else better to do." You know, if something comes up once in a while, you know what I'm talking about. You know, but your habit should be to be in the house of the Lord. And if it's not, it's because somewhere your mind is hostile against it. You know, just think of all the things. See, drinking and getting drunk is not an option for me anymore. You know, using profane language is not an option. Set those boundaries in your mind. You know, your mind will try to pursue the wrong things. You better eliminate them while they're just thoughts. Okay? And so we said that the mind is the number one thing that will hinder you, all right, from hearing God's voice. Now let's move on. Are you ready? Let's go to the second greatest thing that will hinder the voice of God in your life, and that's worry. Worry is the same as fear. People say, "Oh, I'm worried, but I'm not afraid." Wrong. All right? Worry in God's eyes is the same as not trusting him. God says the reason why they're worried is because they don't know me. All right? What does the Bible say over there in 1 John 4:18? It says, "And perfect love casts out fear." You say, how does love cast out fear? It's not talking about your love. It's talking about the knowledge of God's love. When you know and have a revelation of how much God loves you and what he's done for you and what he's willing to do for you, you will never be overcome with fear again. You might be tempted. You might feel the effects of fear. But you understand that when you have a revelation that God Almighty is your Father, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hills too. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything and everybody in it. Do you understand that? And that's who your Father is. And when you're, you know, facing down a car payment or a mortgage payment, you know, or there's a financial test or maybe a physical test in your body or whatever it is, the first thing that tries to come to your mind is what? Fear. Remember what we say around here? the fear of the something is worse than the something. It didn't say my people were destroyed for a lack of health. It said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What does fear, or where does fear come from? Fear is the result of the unknown. All right. Fear is the result of the unknown. See, if we don't fully know how much God loves us, or we don't fully know the truth of God in an area, we open ourselves up to have fear in that area. Okay, come on now. The fear, listen, the devil is not after your kids. I'm going to say something shocking. The devil's not after your business. The devil is not after your health. The devil is not after your marriage. The devil doesn't care about your marriage. The devil doesn't care about how much money you have or don't have. Obviously, look at Hollywood. Devil won't mind. You know, if you have a price, if there's a price to get you away from God, he'll pay it. You know, Reverend Greer mentioned that and so on. I mean, the devil doesn't care how much money you have or don't have. He doesn't care whether, you know, about you being healthy today or not. But why then does he seem to go after your health? Why does he go after your business or your money or your job or your marriage? Because he knows that's where your heartstrings lie. He knows that if he can disrupt your income, if he can disrupt your marriage, he can try to produce fear. It's not about your health or your money or your kids. He just goes after those things because he feels like that's where he has the best chance of making you afraid. Come on now. So if fear is the result of the unknown, faith must be the result of knowledge. Faith is a result of what you know. Okay, let's take this for example. Is everyone with me here today? The potato salad can wait. The hot dogs, the hamburgers, or whatever you got planned, it can wait. This will change your life. And so with those hot dogs, if you're not careful, don't go overboard. All right. Think about this. All right. Remember, it's about the fear of that something. The devil don't care about your body. He don't care about those things. He uses those things to get fear into your life, because when fear gets into your life, he has full reign. Okay. The Bible says over there in Hebrews 2:14 and 15 that Jesus destroyed him who had the power of fear. All right, he didn't say Jesus destroyed him who had the power of sickness or the power of financial disaster or whatever. See, he just uses those things to get fear into your life. Okay, so let's take this for example. Let's say all of a sudden financial crisis, you know, or a financial need or an unexpected expense comes into your life and it feels like it's rocking you to the very core. All right, ever been there? Oh, look at you. Don't lie in the house of God. Listen, if you're here and you say you've never been tested like that, first of all, I think you're lying. I think you're lying. We better stone the liars here today. You know, we better be careful not to lie in the house of God. Listen, we've been there. Come on now. I mean, there are so many things, I mean, that went in the building of this building or the purchasing of the Erie building, ministry things that came up that you never knew about. You know what I mean? That try to get me to get into fear. But see, here's what knowledge does. But see, when that thing comes against you, maybe you didn't remember or know Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe you forgot, you know, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he has no sorrow with it. Right? You forgot Deuteronomy 8:18. I've given thee power to get wealth that I may establish my covenant with you as I did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe you forgot Galatians 3:29. We, those of you that are Christ, are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Maybe you forgot Romans 8:17 that says we are joint heirs with Christ. Maybe you forgot Romans 8:32, right? It says that if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also in him freely give us all things? Maybe you forgot, you know, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men pour into your bosom, right? Maybe you forgot Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room to receive. Maybe you forgot Deuteronomy 28:11. It says that I will make thee plenteous in goods. Verse 8 up there says, I will fill your storehouses. Verse 13 goes on to say, I will make you above, not beneath, the head, not the tail. I will make you the lender, not the borrower. What does that look like in our lives? See, if you get worried, if fear dominates you over your financial situation, you don't know those things. And you say, well, Pastor, that's insulting. You insulted me. No, 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 no. It's a fact. It's not an insult. You don't know that. So, well, Pastor, I know all that, and I'm still going through the financial. The goal isn't to get the money that you need. The goal is to get rid of the fear. All right, maybe sickness or illness comes up against your body, and all of a sudden you feel that spirit of fear come on you. Ever been there? Or the doctor will look at your child and say, you know, I think it's this, that, and this. Listen, at 16, 17 years old, I sat in a doctor's office, and a doctor, you know, got me alone in that office, and he pulled up his chair right in front of me, and he said, son, I think you have one of three things. You have Hodgkin's disease, you have lymphoma, cancer, or you have HIV. He's like, it's one of those three. And that was in Roswell, which is a very reputable establishment. You know, and of course, at that time, I didn't know how to rebuke the spirit of fear. But I'll tell you what, I mean, when you're just a kid sitting there, you know, and you hear that, you think it's like some kind of death sentence. You know, and praise God, I got healed. I got healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I didn't have any of those, by the way. And so on. But, I mean, I know what that spirit of fear, you know, feels like. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Okay, but now if sickness or symptoms or whatever come on me or my family, see, I know Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. Who what? Forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Right? Sounds like Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Glory to God. You know, it sounds like Exodus 23, 25. I will bless your bread and water, and I will take all sickness from your midst. Nothing among you shall be barren, and I will fulfill the full numbers of your days. Sounds like a lot like Psalm 91, verse 16, right? Remember what it says over there? He says, with long life I will satisfy thee, and I will show you my salvation. What if you had that knowledge? See, then when sickness knocks on your door, I'm not afraid. Not afraid. I have the promise ahead of time. I was already told. Come on now. See, life is drawing upon what you know or don't know. And the reason why Christians, honestly, when I say this, this is not, people must think, you know, I'm trying to be critical or mean, but they stand there. Like cows at a, you know, like deer in headlights. And they stand there and they just let the devil run over their life. Because they don't realize or they don't know that, listen, that spirit of fear, that's not for me. I don't have to be worried about sickness and disease. I don't have to be worried about money, high or low. I have a heavenly Father who meets and supplies all my needs. I'm a tither. I've sown seed. The Bible says, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Don't criticize the farmer. You know, if he's got a crop going, it's because he planted that seed. The Bible says, be not deceived, right? Galatians 6:6. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Do we know these things? Glory to God. Worry is the second thing that'll cloud your spirit, because God, you will not hear the voice of God through a cloud of worry. You will not. That worry is coming to drown out what God is saying to you. Oh, the number one way that God speaks to you is through the written word. That's the number one way. Do you know what God says about health? Do you know what God says about your kids? Do you know what God says about your money? Do you know? Are you doing those things associated with those instructions? God gave us the instruction of tithing to prevent those things. It doesn't mean tests don't come to the tither. Actually, if you just start tithing, I'll guarantee you, you're going to walk through a test. Because the devil's going to see, are you going to be faithful to that word? Oh, come on. Yeah. See, remember this. The devil does not have the power to make you afraid. Do you know that? He only can suggest it. People have this idea that Satan is this omniscient being that just can move into your life and make you afraid. He can only suggest it or stir up the water to try to get you into that place. Do you know that you're talking about a defeated enemy when you're talking about the devil? The Bible says in James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, if you're told something in your body, you know, the first thing that's going to come to you is that spirit of fear. Right then and there, that's a make or break moment. Right then and there, you need to know as a believer the authority that Christ gave you. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Do you know that? All the power of the enemy. All the power. And he says, and by no means shall anything hurt you. By no means. Not financial means, not physical means, not emotional, not marital, not childrenal. All right? By no means. All right? And so when that spirit of fear shows up, when you got the bill and you opened it up. You ever been there before? Some unexpected expense. Or a doctor tells you something's in your body, or whatever it is, and you feel that spirit of fear right then and there. Wait until you're with yourself. Please do not stand on the Walmart checkout counter. And if you do, and they ask you what church you go to, you don't go to this one. One of my favorite things in public, people will come up and say, hey, are you Pastor Tim, Family Church? Yeah, I know somebody that goes to your church. I'm like, here we go. What'd they do? No, it's almost always good. Praise the Lord. All right. But no, we're not talking about being flaky. We're not talking about, commanding the devil out of your stubbed toe. Or you know what I mean? Or casting the devil out of your cereal bowl. Whatever it is. You know, or if the milk went bad. It's not the devil's fault. That happened to me last week or so. Does anyone here drink coffee? Anyone drink a lot of coffee? I didn't encourage that. I wasn't encouraging that. All right. But I put cream in my coffee. I'm a cream, no sugar guy. Anyone else a cream, no sugar guy? Oh, I got a few of you, some of you. How many of you put sugar in your coffee? What is wrong with you people? And I went, and of course, it's the morning, and my coffee is fired up. And, and what I like to do is I put my creamer in first, because then it stirs it automatically. Just saving me some time. Efficiency. So I put my cream in first, I put my coffee in, and then I go back to my office and I just sit there and I decompress. That is the time where nobody, just leave me alone, this is my time, you're not invited into it, all right? And I'm sitting there, and get about halfway, through my coffee, maybe three quarters, and all of a sudden I just kind of look down at my coffee and there's a bunch of floaties. You ever seen the floaties in your coffee? And you're like, there's only one explanation for the floaties. The creamer is bad. And so I went to investigate, and I just would have been better off not to know. But I picked up the creamer, give it the sniff test. That date on there means nothing. The date, it means nothing, before or after. Oh, now I lost you with that one. I got a confession to make. I'll go one day after the date if it passes the sniff test. Because I tell you what, a bowl of cereal without milk is not a bowl of cereal at all. And so I sniffed it, ooh. And then I did the pour test, and it was like chunks. It was like gravel. How many of you know at that moment the spirit of fear tried to come on me? Because now I know I got 3/4 of a soup bowl. Yeah, my mug is more like a soup bowl. It's a 4-finger handle. Yes. Yes. And I knew I had gotten plenty of coffee in me with that creamer in it, and I felt that fear, like, what's going to happen next? Obviously, I'm kind of kidding. But anyway, sniff your creamer. This has been a public service announcement from Family Church. All right, worry. That spirit of fear, when it comes on you, you better know how to answer it. You better know how to say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke this fear. It's not that sickness. It's not that lack of money that's going to take you out. It's that fear of that thing which is trying to take you out. All right? Worry. Are you ready for the third thing? Here's the third thing that will cloud the spirit of a believer. Unforgiveness. Oh. Now we're just treading all over your holiday, aren't we? Say, well, Pastor, I worry all the time. Yeah, that's why you're not hearing God's voice. Right. Pastor, I just can't forgive so-and-so. That's why you're not hearing God's voice. All right? Unforgiveness. It is God's nature to forgive, and your life was purchased by forgiveness. How many of you could testify that Jesus and Him in your life changed your life? Yes. Okay, half of you, the other half, we're waiting for you. You know, and it was by the mercy of God. Remember that woman in the Gospels? Remember the woman with the alabaster box? She had an ointment. She had a perfume that was worth 1 full year's salary. She must have been shopping at Tiffany's or something. She went to Rodeo Drive. And, you know, she had the alabaster box. It was so valuable. And remember what she did? She opened that up and she poured it upon Jesus' feet. And remember the Pharisees? Remember? Remember they said, Lord, stop her from doing that. You know, that ointment is so valuable. She shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus said, I'm not going to stop her. You know, and remember, you know, the parable that Christ went on to say, says she did that because she loves me much. And those that have been forgiven much, love much. Listen, when you have a revelation of how much you've been forgiven, you're going to love God. You're going to love God. And if you'll understand that people that have wronged you in your life, they need to hear that forgiveness, not just for your sake, but because the human heart is designed to feel relief when somebody is forgiven. And see, that's the thing about being critical and judgmental. We don't want to give relief to that person. Because in your mind, they don't deserve the relief that forgiveness would give them. But you didn't deserve the relief that the forgiveness of Christ gave you. How many of you are relieved to be saved? How are you relieved that hell is not your home? But heaven is your home. Are you relieved that you will not stand at the great white throne judgment and sentence will not be passed against you to spend forever in hell? We don't even fathom what a relief it is to be saved. Well, how about the relief that that person needs? So they don't deserve it. Neither did you. Next time you refuse to forgive, I tell you what, remember the cross. Yeah. The only hope for us at one time in our life was the forgiveness of God. But yet most believers won't give what they received. Forgiveness releases a burden for you and the ones you forgive. It will always and forever remind the human conscience of God. All right? Every human being will be reminded of God's love when somebody forgives them. Amen. Someone needs the relief of the forgiveness you need to give them. Doesn't mean you trust that person. Doesn't mean you have to invite them into your life and be best friends. but it means you forgive them. And if possible, now not every situation is it possible, but if possible, do it personally. Again, if possible. Forgiveness. See why? If you get the worry out of your life, your spirit will be more clear to hear. If you get rid of the unforgiveness, your spirit will be more clear to hear the voice of God. And here's the fourth thing and the final thing that we'll get to today that will hinder your ability to hear God's voice. Number four, strife. So number one was your carnal mind and the hostile thoughts in your mind. Listen, and just because you become a believer doesn't mean that those hostile thoughts go away. You can be a spirit-filled, God-loving, church-going believer and have thoughts. I'm going to confess to you right now. Pastor Brad mentioned you love the tell on Pastor Tim moments. I'm going to tell on myself right now. Are you ready? Bear with me. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like going to church. I don't always feel, are you ready? We love each other, right? How many of you know you can love somebody, but you can have days where you don't feel like seeing them? Interpretation for yourself. Read between the lines of that one, right? No, I mean, if you think you wake up every Sunday morning just, church, and you don't have to contend with your flesh and your mind, there's something wrong with you. If you, then you're either that or, Jesus has returned and we didn't know it. Okay, you don't always have to feel that way. You know, how many of you know Paul, the apostle, had to tell Timothy, the pastor, in 2 Timothy chapter 1? He says, you got to stir up the gift. You got to stir it up. Because it doesn't just automatically, do you always feel like writing the tithe check? Do you always feel like, praising and lifting God? But see, that's where the glory of God lives, when you do His word beyond your feelings. Amen. Do you always feel like treating your spouse right? Come on. Come on now. Oh my goodness. Should I or shouldn't I? My wife is not here to defend herself. She's home with our oldest, who's faking being sick today. No. But that's a dad response. You feel fine. Get up. And then if a kid is really smart, they go for the sore throat excuse. I have a sore throat. It's like, I fold. Give up. Stay home. Yeah, praise the Lord. Where were we? Strife. We better get back to the regular. I know there was a story there that I was about to launch into. But, well, do you always feel like being nice to your spouse? No. Do they always deserve it? Well, mine does. Because she's probably watching. we were talking about Wednesday, and I'm not just trying to, rehash the same old stories. But, you ever just, are you this way or sometimes your spouse is this way to you? They're just unresponsive. Just unresponsive. And, of course, what thought starts to bombard your mind? What did I do to deserve this? And the carnal mind starts to say, you want to play this game? You want to play this game with me? You don't even know how long I'll go silent for. I'll act so disinterested in you, it'll turn your head around. And then all the woman has to say is like, hey, honey. Oh, hi. Men we think we're so tough. Men we think we can stand up. No, no, no. They will absolutely take us down. Just when you think, okay, all right, you want to be disinterested in me? You just wait till you see all the things I find to distract myself. Yeah. I know you've never been there. But I have. And of course, the moment, you know, my wife says, oh, hey, honey. Oh, hi. You know? You know, and how in the world could I ever try to ignore her? It don't work. I have to admit, she's got me. I better choose my word carefully here. She has me. She has my heart. I'm having fun today, if you're not. Strife. Are you ready for this? Strife is another word for fighting and arguing. Folks, you know, in all honesty, laughing in life is important. And I'm in no means, you know, using humor to ever try to diminish the Word of God. You know, but I will say this, and maybe this is a personal opinion, and we always say we don't give our opinions around here, we don't give much. But if I do, I will tell you ahead of time that it's my opinion. But I truly believe that people take themselves far too serious. I say this, take God very serious, but don't take yourself so serious. And I say it all the time, if you don't have a sense of humor, they're on sale at Walmart, go buy one quick. Because this life is not going to take it easy on people who don't know how to laugh. All right? And so I will never apologize, unless if it was inappropriate or something, I would. But I won't apologize for laughing in the house of God. All right? Praise the Lord. Strife. The word strife means to argue, to fight, and to bicker. All right? Strife and fighting will drown out the quiet leading of the Lord. The Bible says that God speaks to us how? In the still, small voice. But I'll tell you what, if you're fighting so loud in your home, you'll destroy the peace and quiet of that place, and there will be no way that you will hear God's still, small voice. Because fighting and arguing, have you ever known a contentious person? Ever known someone who's just contentious? It's like if you tell them the sky is blue, they will say, no, it's not, it's green. You know, they will always pick the opposite side. I'll tell you what, God is not talking to someone like that. Or we should say it this way, they're not hearing what God is saying because they're strifing, they're fighting. Here's the thing, people try to win all the time. Listen, sometimes to hear the voice of God, you're going to have to lose. You know what I mean? You're going to have to submit yourself in a situation where it's like, you might even be technically right. But if you want to hear God's voice, you'll have to just simply, you know, forgive, move on, or whatever. Get out of the fight. Because you need to ask yourself, when you decide to fight in your home, the question is, can you afford it? Because the Bible says that strifing and fighting and envy over there in James 3:14-16, it says, where there is strife and envy, there is confusion in every evil work. Every evil work in an environment of fighting and yelling and screaming. The loss of a temper is a loss of more than that. Loss of a temper is a loss of finances. It's going to cost you something. It's a loss of a relationship. It's a loss of peace. There is a verse that's playing on the inside. I believe it is. Is it Proverbs 19:19? Someone help me. Let's try this. Let's spend all afternoon searching for this one scripture. Yeah, this is it. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath or a person of temper shall suffer punishment. The word punishment there, it doesn't mean, going to hell or something like that. It means a financial penalty. Yeah, if you look it up in the original Hebrew, it says someone who loses their temper will suffer financially. You never connected the two, but God did. For if you deliver him, yet you must do it again. All right? A man who loses, or a person who loses their temper, will suffer punishment. Strife, fighting, wrath is going to cloud your spirit. All right? See, that's why we put number 3 at forgiveness. See, forgiveness will prevent that. Mercy prevents fights. Mercy prevents arguments. Listen, is there a lot of times when my wife was technically right over me? Yes. Now, all joking aside, I will be completely honest. No doubt, she is more right than I am in most things. At least, you better say that, men. You better take that heart, all right? And no doubt she is. And there's so many times when she has had opportunities where she could have won the argument. You know what I mean? She could, or just, you know, we weren't even yelling or screaming or anything like that, but she could have just had her way, but she didn't. And there's been times, you know, when I knew I was technically right. You know, men don't admit that too often, right? But you know when you're technically right, but you just, for the sake of peace, for the sake of peace, it's not worth it. Because if you're going to get into a fight, you better ask yourself, can I afford this? Yeah, fights and contentions throw a big cloud over your life. God will not live in your drama. God will not live in your drama. You have a drama-filled house, I'm telling you, God is not talking to you there. God lives in peace, right? He leads us in green pastures, still waters. He does not lead or speak in that place of chaos and fighting. See, if you're fighting with somebody, it's because you are in pride. Mercy is the opposite of pride. Don't throw that big cloud over your life. God won't live in your drama. Oh, I tell you what, if you get the drama out of your life, you know, don't be a drama king or a drama queen. All right? If you do, you aren't going to hear God. Your temper will and can drown out God talking to you. Because if you're using your temper, what are you? You're offended. Think about it. If you're using your temper, you're offended at something or somebody. Jesus said, woe to those to whom offenses come. All right. There will be lots of opportunities for you to feel offended in this life, but how you control them, amen, will determine the amount of God's glory in your life. If you're always fighting, you'll always be troubled. You'll be a troubled soul. You'll always be offended. No one's ever good enough. And you will become one of, now again, this is an opinion. You become one of the worst types of personalities that are on this earth. You know what that is? High maintenance. How much do people have to maintain you? Do they have to walk on eggshells when they're around you? Oh, come on now. I try to be of somebody that is low maintenance. When I see you, whenever it is, whether it's tomorrow or a week from now or whenever, I want to just be the same guy. You know, you can walk on me, you can say what you want, I don't care. Because I'm delivered from the opinions of man. Right? What is it over there? Proverbs 29:25, is that the right one? Someone verify that? Or is it 25:29? One or the other, all right? Proverbs, I believe it's 29:25, tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. Meaning if, 29:25? The fear of man brings a snare. If you care so much what people think of you, you're going to be entrapped. Oh, one of the greatest deliverances you can walk in this life is a deliverance from man's opinions. Low maintenance. Easy going. The Bible says easy to be entreated. Easy going. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was it? Hebrews 1:9 says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Kids wanted Jesus to hug them, right? Why? Because he was low maintenance. He wasn't offended and angry all the time. And amen. Did you get some help here today? Keep those things out of your spirit. It'll be clear to hear God's voice. Now, next week, I thought I'd get to it today, but we didn't. Next week, we're going to start talking about how to divide soul and spirit. How to differentiate between your mind that speaks to you and the Spirit of God that speaks to you, because sometimes people get them confused. And we'll talk about what the human spirit sounds like when God speaks to it. You know, we'll talk about your conscience, the inward witness, the umpire of peace, and so on. We're looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. And Father, we see these things. They're not the only things. But we see these things that'll cloud our spirit if we're not careful. One, our carnal mind. How and what we do with our thought life. Father, if somebody's defeated, they're defeated first in their mind. They were defeated because of what they didn't know. They were defeated because they did not meditate in the Word. They did not study their Bible. They did not make knowledge and understanding their greatest pursuit. And so they get hurt. Father, we see that worry and fear will cloud our spirit. And Father, we know that fear is the result of the unknown. But faith is the result of what is known. And Father God, we see that unforgiveness will cloud our spirit. Father, you reward those that are merciful. Father, those that forgive, because we have been born again through your forgiveness. And Father, we also know that strife, fighting, bickering, yelling, screaming will hinder us from hearing your voice. And so, Father, we're going to deal with these things first before we talk about what it sounds like when you speak to us. And so, Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Just ask yourself that right there in your own heart, down in the midst of your being. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 8:16, it says that the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does that mean? It says if you're born again, you'll know it. And if you're not, you'll be unsure. So if you're here today and you'd be honest with yourself and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know that heaven's my home. Well, guess what? Today's your day then. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's given an answer for you. It says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice it wasn't about a religious ritual. It was about the sincerity of your heart where you pray to God and say, I believe Jesus is Lord. And I believe that he died and rose again so that I could be saved. And you just sincerely mean it with all of your heart. If that's you here today, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send you off with some church leader to talk to him in a room or something like that. But right here in your seat, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm simply going to ask you to raise your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone? I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He wants you to be able to hear his voice and be led. Is there anybody else before we pray that you know you need Jesus in your heart? Is there anybody else before we pray? Maybe you're here today and you are a believer and you know that in your heart, but you've walked away from God and you're not living for him like you know you should. And today you'd like to rededicate your life, kind of step up to the plate again. We offer that all the time as well. If you're here and you'd like to rededicate your life to him, could you lift your hand now as well? We'd love to include you. I see that hand, thank you, and that hand, thank you. You can put it down, and that one. God loves you. Hey, his mercies are brand new every day. Aren't you glad? Boy, I'm so glad that he's our Father. He wants to be our Father and not our judge. Amen. God is so good. So let's all pray this together. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Speak them from your heart. God will hear you. Let's pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, we want to always encourage people. Hey, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're not ashamed to tell people, we have this salvation card in the seat there with you. It's just, you know, mark the box and say, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You put your name on that. Hand it to an usher as you leave. Come on up. You know, give it to Pastor Brad. Today I have an appointment right after with a family from the church. And so if you don't see me up here, or you could just leave it face down on the seat there where you're sitting. Folks, let's mean business with the Lord. And maybe you just recently received the Lord, and maybe it wasn't today, but you'd still just like to have a way to just, you know, show God that you're not ashamed. Go ahead, find a card, fill it out. Just let them know. We don't use this information to, you know, solicit you or to sell it or anything like that. It's just a great way for people to say, hey, I love God, I love Jesus, and I made him my Lord and Savior here. You hand it to an usher, and it just shows that you're not ashamed of him. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Well, did you get some help here today? Let's just give the Lord all the praise and glory. Father, we worship you. Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for knowledge. We thank you for the word. We know how to do it now. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Everybody say now, God is amazing.